called Gimel and Rav. Perkei Aloch Aleph. Shosh Nara Sapora, an ox which gored a cow, Benimtzu Bar Betzida, and you found the gored a cow's fetus dead next to it. Okay, but the fetus was at term, and therefore it's entirely possible that it was born before the goring occurred. You just don't know, right? They don't know if the fetus was born. I think the proper word is foaled, but I'm not sure about that. Was born before the goring, or subsequent to the goring. So the owner of the ox pays the half damages on the cow, because it's a tam which gored, and since it's a suffix whether he's liable for the vlad, for he's liable for the fetus or not, because if the fetus miscarried as a result of his ox goring, so then he's liable for it. If the fetus was already born and died out of fright or something like that, so then he's exempt upon it, right? So therefore, misafik, he pays half of what his obligation would be, which comes to sum total of a quarter, revia levlad, okay? V'chein para shenokha. Now, the opposite case. Let's say a cow gored es ashor. A pregnant cow, or a cow which might have been pregnant at the time, gored an ox. And, you know, cows do have horns, which is, not, nowadays most of them don't, but in the old days they did, right? So a cow gored an ox, v'nimtza vlad abetzida, and now you found the para, the cow, has its calf standing next to it. In this case, the calf might be alive or dead. It's not material. You don't know if the calf was born prior to the goring, in which case it was not a participant in the goring. Being Mishanokhli, although Orv was born subsequent to the goring, in which case it was a participant in the goring. So Mishai Chati Nezim, you pay half damages, up to half damages from the cow, Urevia, and a calf of a half because of your suffix, Mina Vlad, from the calf.
How could the newborn calf be a participant?
When it was still inside the mother. When the mother gored, it gored together with the calf.
Decision.
No decision to make, nor any active, any direct participation. Gemara's going to discuss that.
In the first case, is there any concept of role here?
Gemara's going to discuss that too. So it says, "Gemara, v'chika paras mapilos." Do all cows miscarry? Obviously not. Nachman acharov. Let's say that to go after the majority. V'emar machmas degichon neipilo. Most cows are able to sustain a viable pregnancy, right? Or gestation. If this cow could not, so let's say that it follows a majority, and the majority of times it's going to miscarry, because of the goring, not because of it, any inherent problem in and of itself. Zosomeris, this teaches us, it must be, Shelo Hilchu B'mom V'Shelo Hochu B'midas Adin, they didn't go on matters of court case and monetary law, B'mom Mamon in Dinimominis Acharov. They didn't go for a majority. Ella, it should be the Escoria manuscript. Ella Acharmut. They followed the minority as well. And therefore, since a minority of cases, it's possible that the miscarriage was spontaneous and natural, opposed to caused by the goring. So therefore, you cannot take more, cannot demand more than a quarter payment. You can't demand the full half payment. Okay, we don't follow the rove. So it's interesting, there's actually a machlokas here between the Bavli and Yushalmi, because the Bavli of Abbasar says that there is no rove here. That there's no rove because it's entirely possible that yes, the miscarriage happened as a result of the ox coming at the cow, but before he actually touched the cow. And at that point, the ox miscarried out of fright, and that miscarriage is a groma. It's only caused by the ox. It's not directly done by the ox. In that case, the owner of the ox would be potter. So the Gemara then, Bava Basra, rejects this proof that ain't hochim momen acharov. Does he even follow the rove? It could be that this is unnatural, but not in a way in which would cause the owner of the ox to be liable. But here the Gemara doesn't give that answer. And then the Gemara says also, very interesting thing, Amar Rabbi Yosef says, B'makom acher hochum midas adin acher rove. Another place they followed midas adin, in my court cases and other chashim mishpat areas, they follow the majority. Ki'ada, where such a case, to follow like the following case. The Tanya just brought down the Bavli as well. Rabbi Yacha said, Gamala Ocher ben Agmal. And there's various different interpretations of what Ocher means, but the simple shot is that he's copulating. There's one camel copulating among other camels. So Ocher means, as the Pnei Moshe brings out, he's copulate backside to backside. And Ochorim is the backside. So Ocher is one who's backing, one camel's backing in, so to speak, to another camel. So in any event, if then there's another camel found dead, Nitzashram Echad Meis, Chayev, the owner of this male camel, which is copulating, is liable. B'yadush Zehara go, because we know it must be this camel is the one who killed, because they get wild when they're copulating. So in any event, so the bottom line here is that it seems that we follow Rove in Mominus here, because we assume that it was this camel. So the Ori Yosher wants to say that this argues on the Bavli as well. Because Bavli says that here, the camel which is liable is liable because of Chazokah, not because of Rove. Because we have a Chazokah, an assumption that it's the animals who are in heat who are going to do the most damage. But it's interesting that Ori Yosher, I don't think, is necessarily correct. Because we could say that that's exactly what Yerushalmi means. Yerushalmi means there's certain robes which are robes based on logic as opposed to statistical robes. In other words, that most cows don't miscarry is unless there's a reason, is a statistical robe, but it's not necessarily always true. But there's a logical assumption that if you find camels walking steadily around, one of them is in heat, that camel, you know, psychologically, is the murderer. We have such principle, Chazaka ain't a dumperato smano. Person never pays back a loan early. And even though it's called Chazaka, it's based on rove. The rove people procrastinate and only pay by money when they absolutely have to. So it's possible that this is a certain type of psychological rove. There it's with a person, here it's with a camel, which also can be called a Chazaka, so it's not necessarily a machlok between the Bible and the Shami. That's what I would say. In any event, I mentioned rove based on teva and then human nature or some other form of nature. Yes, I did mention it. So in any event, so it says more further. From Rabbi Yada said, "Kini masni." So now, Rabbi Yada is going to get in the mission. He's going to bar mission where the cow gored the ox, and we said it's a pregnant cow. So Rabbi Yana says our mission, a similar thing is brought down the Bavli. Our mission is talking about where there are two owners. The cow is owned by one person and the fetus is owned by another person. So you have a cow and fetus which gore together. The cow is owned by person number one and fetus is owned by person number two. Somehow they manage to make a deal in which they split the ownership of this cow, manifest in who owns the cow and who owns the fetus. So in this case, you pay, this way we learn our mission, you pay half damages from the cow. And the owner of the fetus pays the owner of the cow a quarter. Okay? So who does he, so the Baal Par has to pay. He's got to pay the full half damages to the ox which is gored by the cow. But the owner of the Vlados pays a quarter to the Baal Par, because he might be his partner. So ultimately, the owner of the cow pays how much? It's a little bit confusing. The owner of the cow pays how much? No. The owner of the cow pays a quarter. And the owner of the fetus pays how much? Also a quarter. They both pay quarters. Just that the owner of the cow paid half up front, and then the owner of the fetus reimbursed him for half of his half.
Reimbursed. Oh.
Okay.
Now, why is he reimbursed? why isn't the owner of the fetus paying the nisak?
Excellent question. It's so good that there's somebody who holds like you right away, right now in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi says, Zeno se mechzav, Zeno se mechzav. They both give half. So meaning each one gives a quarter, in essence, right? So, Manafka b'nev says more, Manafka b'nev, what is the difference between these two opinions? Good question, right? What's the difference? The difference is like this. Mesa avlados, if the fetus dies, Mandamar says, the Kolin Ephraim says a little bit different in the next line, it changes a little bit. To Zenos Emechza, Zenos Emechza. Each guy pays a half to the bow, to the owner of the ox who was gored. So now who loses out? If the fetus died, who loses out? The owner of the ox, right? Because the owner of the ox is going to lose out because he's only going to get up to the value of the dead fetuses from one owner, right? What about, however, okay, Manamar says, I'm sorry, that's good enough. Manamar says, Zeno se mechza, Ahen yoim noske, Ahen yoim niske. Each guy gives his part, and therefore the owner of the ox loses half. Manamar Rashai Chatzin Ezek min Apora, you said he pay up damages from the Pora. Ubao Vlodos, and the owner of the Vlodos of Ole, Lubao Pora Avia, he gives the owner of the cow half a compensatory reimbursement. So, Ahen yoim niske. And in this case, the owner of the para gives the full half, right, to the owner of the ox. The owner of the ox doesn't lose anything. Vahein Omar, the owner of the vlodos say, however, to the owner of the cow, Lo dame boys, is this not what you want? My dead fetus? Let me toss it to you. So in any event, so in this case, who loses? According to this understanding, who owners lose in this case? The owner of the cow. The owner of the cow doesn't get reimbursed for the half, which it could be reimbursed. So the question is obviously how we regard the partnership, because of course the cow is the primary damager, right? So it could be the cow pays up front and then he gets reimbursement if he can from the Baal of Lodos. Or we can say that no, since the owner of the fetus was the partner of the owner of the cow, so therefore they're equally liable. And the Gilin HaShas, a very long Gilin HaShas, he harks back to the previous parent. We spoke about three partners who are partners in an investment, but they're not all partners equally, right? One has 50%, another has 30%, another has 20%, but we said any profit and any loss, they suffer jointly and equally, because we said even though the investment levels are different, nevertheless, they're all the same vis-a-vis outlay and income. So here, too, we say the same thing, in essence. We're saying that even though the Baal of Lod coins have been that they're both partners, even though Baal Vlodos is doing relatively little, but since he's a partner with the Baal Pora, so he accepted upon himself the liability in any potential goring, and vice versa, of course. Okay? And therefore, it's not just a limited liability, but a full 50% liability, despite the fact that obviously the fetuses are less a part of the deal, but it's enough liability that he would be liable to a full 50%. Okay? Continuing on in the Sefer, v'chein parash no chazar shor.
My question still wasn't answered.
What was your question?
Why doesn't the owner Baal HaVlados pay the Baal Mizak?
No, because who's the primary? Quite the first opinion, because who's the primary Mazik?
The cow.
So he's responsible. The question is whether he can go to somebody else and get reimbursement, but it's his responsibility. The guy whose ox is damaged says, I don't see no fetuses. As far as I'm concerned, who did all the damage?
Yeah.
Cow. You want to go to court with the guy who has the fetuses and prove that he was a participant? That's your business, not my business. Okay? So that's that perspective. Of course, the other perspective is the one you prefer, to say that they were both partners, and therefore he has to go to both of them. Okay, v'chein parashinu chas ha-shor. So to a cow gores an ox. It said, "Raibun baruch barakana boykuni Rabbi Yami." As for Rabbi Yami, the nation is sofek. Is it because it's a sofek, right? That therefore, since it's a sofek, so therefore each guy gives. The Baal of Lodos doesn't have to give, may not have to give. Ha'ilu vadai, but if it were, he was definitely involved. So zeno se mechza, zeno se mechza, then each guy would have to give a full half. In other words, each party to the damage have to give a full half. Was that, would I say that? Kachani, you remember, do I say that? Ragla shel adam echad, kula shel adam echad. If one person owns a leg and the other person owns the entire thing, zeno se mechza, zeno se mechza, do they each pay equally? How do we have such a thing? Why should they each pay equally? Makes no sense, right? This is before I brought the marshal from the previous parak, actually. The Gilead Rishash brings it down to this point. Armalisa said, B'muad he must nisa. This is where the Gilead Rishash is. Armish is talking about an animal which is muad. And that's the difference basically between the muad and the tam. By a muad, they're both partners because they both have to undertake to watch it. Right? So therefore, even though you're just a partner in the vlad, since your animal's a muad, so therefore you have to make sure to watch it. Right? You're a partner. So therefore, when I said, if it was a tam, one could make the argument that Bob Lotus had no idea what was going on, and therefore it's not his responsibility. But if you bought an animal and is aware that it's a muad, so then he has to take care. If he doesn't care, he's equally liable to the other one. Okay, that's basically what it says here. And the Gilead Rishash goes into great length, but he says basically, but again, going back to the previous pair, that they all expect to accept upon themselves equally and jointly and similarly. Says the Gemara. If a guy says, this is kind of out of left field, but all right, you know, what's the difference? Ragla mechur lecha. If a guy sells somebody else the foot of an ox or a cow, so machar, take out the word, we'll add the word chatzi chetzi. He sold half of a half, because how many this may come to shock you, how many legs does a cow have?
Four.
Very good. So if you sell one leg, how much of a cow are you selling? Very good. Okay. So, Suzuka, can you students answer that question? Okay, good. So, in any event, Raglish Niyam Machrolach, if I sell you the second leg, then Machar, I take the word Chati, because you put it back there, the Shaitar, it still makes that the change. Machetzio, then you say, have sold the full half. Amrav Lurishlok, Rishlokish, Rishlok, Rilezer, Kolech Mosak, Levino. Our entire discussion this morning is going like Levi, we don't paskin like him. It's interesting because the Bavli brings down that this whole Mishnah is like Sumchos. And we don't paskin like Sumchos. Because our Mishnah holds, what does our Mishnah hold like Sumchos?
What you said, Sumchos is like, oh my gosh, of course.
That will not suffice. That's not an acceptable answer for it. Even the Rosh Yeshiva tells would not have accepted that on their own.
Five seconds you're wrong. 5 seconds was long.
Yes.
That was life for 4 years.
Okay. I see he has pleasant memories of it.
Doesn't everyone want to tell us that?
Yes.
Pleasant memories? Like that, yes.
Yes.
Exactly like that.
Mama Amuto Besafi Choki. That was also part of the Pekina Tosa. So, Mama, that you divide up. But we paskin what? What Rabbanan hold?
No.
Hamotz mechaber lava raya. Then we hold that if you want me to pay, you prove that my feet is damaged. Who says my feet is damaged? I'm not going to pay a quarter out of my own largesse. You prove that my feet is damaged. You can't prove it? Too bad. Go home. So it's interesting, the Baal Yushami doesn't make the qualification. I don't know why, and I don't want to speculate why, because I have no idea why. But seems like the Yushami holds it our Mishnah stands, not just like Sumchus. Okay? So I don't know. Alright? So that's the Mishnah further. Dav Chav Dav Amrav. HaKadosh Shechnis Kleiros, and the series of Mishnah say basically the same thing. HaKadosh Shechnis Kleiros, a potter who brought his pots of Chotzer Baal Bais into the backyard of Baal Bais, Shalob Yishus, without getting permission. So the owner of the cow of the Baal Bais, of the owner of this yard, breaks them. Potter, the owner of the yard is Potter, right? They weren't supposed to be there. If his animal gets damaged in the course of breaking these pots, Baal Kderes Chayev, then the owner of the Kderes Chayev, he shouldn't have put his pots there, right? If, however, he put them in with permission, Baal Chotzer Chayev, the owner of the yard, is liable in that case. What about if a third-party ox came and broke them? Not the ox of the Baal Bais, but an ox which belongs to some stranger, comes into this Baal Bais' backyard, starts breaking the pots. Potter. In that case, the person whose ox came from elsewhere is Potter. Uzak Baed, similarly, however, actually not similarly, on the flip side, if the... since the ox shouldn't have been there either, so if the ox gets damaged as a result of these pots, and it's the third party's ox, so then the owner of the pots is Potter.
The owner of the pots have shoes to put it into the...
No, that would be a different ballgame. Nobody had shoes here. Ha'adamra teaches us that Karen Petur b'chatzer shein shel shneim. It says here that if the third-party ox comes in and damages, so the owner of the ox is potter. So because Karen is potter in a yard which doesn't belong to either the mazik or the nizak, which is also not Rishus HaRabim, obviously, because Rishus HaRabim and Karen is chayav. So the Or Yosher says that this argues in the Bavli, because the Bavli and Daf Yudal Rav says that you're chayav on Karen in the Chatzer Shein Shel Shneim. And our mission says, according to the Yerushalmi, that your pots are chutz v'shein shel shneim. Okay? Straightforward? Says the Mishnah further. Additional straightforward Mishnah. Hichnis peros l'chutz v'baal bais. You brought in your fruit to the courtyard of the baal bais. Now you brought in fruit instead of jugs. Shelo b'shus. Our mission. Chaltam b'alim tosh v'baal bais. You know the baal bais, this animal eats them. Potter, he's exempt. He muska ben, if he gets damaged by eating them, or in the course of eating them, Baal Peter Schaid, and the owner of fruit is liable to pay the owner of the animal. You put in the fruit with permission, of course, Chayev, then he's liable for all detriments caused thereby. If you put your fruit into the Chatzar of Baal Bais without permission, and a third party ox comes, and eats them, Potter, it's exempt. Who's a man on the other hand, if he gets damaged by them, is also Potter. Adam Ross teaches us, Shashem Ptur b'chotzer she'enu shel shneihem, that a chotzer, but the shorim b'okamach, comes to eat them, is Potter. Shein is Potter, the tooth is Potter, in a yard which doesn't belong to either one of them. And it would seem that the same is true about Regal as well, though it's not explicitly, it would seem that the same is true about Regal, that a Regal b'chotzer she'enu shel shneihem is Potter. Well, it was only chayv. The chotzer belongs to one of them, but not a chotzer belongs to neither of them, or unless there's a shus or something of that sort, some mitigating factor. You put your ox in your baal bais's backyard or any baal bais's backyard without permission. Nachu shorish baal bais, and the ox of the baal bais gores that ox. Or shenashlo kel kavush baal bais, or his dog bites that ox. So potter is exempt because of the shalom b'shus. If the visiting ox damaged the ox which belongs to Baal Bais, Chayev, his master, is liable. If the visiting ox fell into a well, and made the water disgusting, so then Chayev, you are liable for that. If the father or son was swimming and in came this cow and drowned them, so Mishayim is a kofer, you pay ransom based on the inadvertent killing three rocks. V'michnis b'shus ba'al chotzer, if however he brought in his oxen with permission ba'al chotzer, chayav, then he's liable for... I'm saying ba'al chotzer chayav, I missed it up. If he brought his oxen with permission, then the Shorel Chotzer, then the Baal Bais is liable for having taken his chances, right? Because he put the guy probably Rishus, right? Rabbi Omer, in all cases, the Baal Bais is not liable until he accepts upon himself verbally that he's going to be a shomer for this object in question. Okay? He has to accept shmir on it. Just the fact that he gave permission for it to come in is insufficient. He has to accept shmir. He brought out to the chutz of Baal Bais. There has to be a pnei moshe change that everybody agrees. Has to be birshus. You got permission to bring it in. You got permission to bring in rocks. Ubo ashor mokamach, and a third party ox comes and does one of the things that tantamount to care into it. What does he do? He nogach, he gores, nogach, pushes, noshach, bites, robots crouches, bot kicks. Mishai Nezik Sholem Divra Abi Meir. You pay Nezik Sholem to the damaged ox. Now, this is Dachmuchrach. It's essentially to be Goris, like the Bishari Tarasol says, it's not Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Tarfon. Because who's the one who says, Mishune, Keren, Bechotzer, and Isaac, Mishalim, Nezek, Sholem, that the full damage is in such a case? Who said in the first paragraph, trust me on this? It was Rabbi Tarfon. So if it shouldn't be Rabbi Meir, it has to be Rabbi Tarfon. And of course, Chaim argue back to Rabbi Tarfon as well. That's the Ori. Actually, it's not my vort that has to be said. Rabbi Tarfon, I think it's Shari Torah, Sarah Kitrol. Yeah. V'chachorimim ala shein v'al regel, on the tooth and on the leg, you're liable. Chai v'anagicha v'anagicha v'anashira v'arisa v'ita v'al ardochi, on all those things which are linked to goring. Tam mishalim chatzin nezek mu mishalim nezek sholim min aliyah. A tam, even a chatzin nezek pays what? Even the damages, Korea, what is the time? An option not forewarned, call? Fate, half a nezek, not full nezek. So it's the same machlokas they have basically in the first paragraph. Okay? It says more further. It tells, by the way, did they use the word gore ever? No.
We answered
it.
Did
they
use gore?
Did they use gore?
Okay.
Yeah. You know what the Yiddish word is? Not you. Do you know what the Yiddish word is? For goring. The yeshivas, they never say gore. Close. Shtois, I believe it is. Yeah. Don't recall it at all? They use gore? Yeah, I think it's shtois. I think so. Yeah. It's been a long time since I'm from a comrade. I believe the Yiddish word is shtois. One ox shtois another. I think that's it. Anyway, says the Gemara, you didn't speak Yiddish until? So it says more. Rav Yehuda Shem. In your day, they spoke Yiddish to NYU. Yeah, the Rav gave shir and won Yiddish until the late '50s. Yeah, not just the Rav, many of the David Lipschitz too. They all did. A lot of them gave shir. Rav Yehuda Gorelick. No, he switched from Yiddish to Hebrew. Yeah. No, so you gave it Hebrew. Anyway, so says my Rav's Yiddish are much better than English. His Yiddish was much better than his English. It's Mamalush, and he was much more dramatic in Yiddish than English. says more further. It was a shame Shmuel said Rabbi Shmuel said, yeah, look like Rabbi, it looks like Rabbi, that you have to explicitly, it's not enough to give Rishus to come in. You have to be explicitly Makabo Shmira. You have to accept upon yourself the Shmira.
Understood? No,
you're saying good. Just a minute. Be patient. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yirmiyah, come by the Mabais. Everybody agrees if you in your house. Shoyim Elohi Koneis Vanim Shamro. When I say come in, I mean I'm going to watch it, like you just said. Vakomodim on the other end. Everybody is besode by a field. Shermelo achniseyu vishamreyu. I say, yeah, you can bring it in, but you're responsible for it. Okay, so it's the opposite by field. Okay?
But you have to verbally.
No! It's as if you said it's understood, yeah. It's like you store it. You know, public storage. You want it, fine, you can come use it, but it's your achrayus, not mine. Okay? So my plea, what's my machlokas? Bechotzer. By a courtyard. Reme achotzer kisada, and you'd have to accept upon yourself the feirush. Bechomri achotzer kibayis. And it's assumed, excuse me. So I have a kasha. Tamti learned over there, later in the parak. It's a case. Hamagdish besoich. Actually, it's in the fifth, sixth parak. Hamagdish tol stei chaver shlo b'shus. If you put your piles of grain in your friend's field without permission, so there's no liability. But the implication is if you put it there with permission, so there is liability. And the shaila is, where's the rishus? Well, I mean, where's the Kabbalah Shmira? Right? There's no Kabbalah Shmira. It sounds like even without Kabbalah Shmira, you're automatically liable. And see, Bekash Rabbanon, because there's a Sadeh. In a Chatzah, Rabbanon Argon Rebbe. But in a Sadeh, they agree with Rebbe. There's, you need Kabbalah Shmira. Where's the Kabbalah Shmira over there? Says, Gemara, it's a little bit missing here. It should be, Gemara over there says, in Eskoria, my script says, it says, should say, Om Rabbi Yitzchak, Gedishim besodeh, the piles of grain fields, Asu Osan, they made them Kikelim Babais. In other words, everything vis-a-vis the substance which is primary therein has the status of Kikelim in the house. Kikelim in the house, once he says bring them in, it's as if he accepts Shemir upon them. So to Gedishim the fields, since that's their natural habitat, once he says you can put them in, so they need some Makabo Shemir on them. Okay? You like that? Not bad. Acceptable? So it says Marav, continuing this vein, Am Rabbi Rabun, Tipat Mahidi, so he might as well, it's got a lock. So the sod has a lock, so then it makes sense. As a, then when you say put it in, right, that's more like a chotzer, and then even more like a bais. So everybody agree that it's that in that case if you say put it in, you by the diva assumption you accept Shmira. Okay? Good. Aloha, turn the page. Shoshim is Kamel Chaber, so shifting gears a little bit. And ox, we actually had this in the last paragraph. Shoshim is Kamel Chaber. An ox was out to gore its friend to get death. He got the issue, yet instead it hit a woman who was standing nearby. The also then she miscarried. Potter, the owner of the ox, is exempt. We said in the previous paragraph, Anoshim, not sure. Potter made laws. He doesn't have to pay for the restitution for the miscarriage. Other Shemiskam Chaver, Chaver, a person wants to hit his friend, put him to death, because he should said he hit a woman, Vyati Olada, and her children came out. Mishalim made blood, so he has to pay for the, fetuses. Ketan Shalim made blood, so he paid made blood. Shemiskish Kamasha, Kamo Isa Yopat Shalol Yolda. We'll go on how much she was worth before she gave birth. Vikami Yopat Mishi Yolda. Tanakama assumes that a woman is worth more when she's pregnant. Because the potential to produce more avodim. So if she's sold as a slave then, so she'll be worth more. So that's why the difference between that and this is considered to be the difference in the maid lotos, because she was worth more with the lotos and less without them. If that's the way you want to look at it, it makes no sense because women are worth more once they give birth because birth is very hazardous. So a woman who's got to go out to give birth in the slave markets, she's not worth anything because, close to anything, because who knows, she might die tomorrow when she's giving birth, right? But a woman after she gives birth is worth much more because then she actually, you know, she proved her mettle and also she is no longer not expecting the moment.
She can go back to work.
She can go back to work, right. So, so that can't work, says Rav Shimon Gamliel. El Shomin es Ablodos Kamin Yofin. We look at the kids themselves, how much it would have been worth for nursing the bow to sell. That's what you give to the husband. Im Ein Lo, it says Im Ein Lo, but it should be Im Ein Lo Bow. If she doesn't have a husband, nurse the Yosher, we give to the heirs of the husband. What if she's a maidservant who was just released? And the father is still an Eved. Ogeris, so she's a Gioris, and the father is still a Goy. So then, guess what? Do you think the woman gets the miscarriage money? Of course not. This is Judaism, right? So then, Patur, the guy who damaged, is exempt. He's exempt from the miscarriage money. Okay? Says more further. Shoshem iskam l'chaveh ha'eroi. The kasha is like this. It sounds like the only reason why the ox is exempt for pay is because the ox had in mind to kill its buddy, its fellow ox. It sounds like if it had a mind to kill the woman, it's liable. And that's not true, regardless of who the ox had in mind. What ox does not kill what he had in mind? His mind is not insignificant. So how do you write? What does this Mishnah mean? So it sounds no matter what, it should be the ox's owner is potter. Says Marvelo Shani. There's no difference. Makes no difference. Lamatina ox, why did it say had in mind to kill its fellow ox as opposed to killing the woman? Because in Mishnah, subsequently, where it says, the guy, the man who was eating had a man to eat his friend because he should be also allowed there, and it said he had a woman, and her children came out, Mishani's Mevlados. That that case, he pays Mevlados. Because the halach is, if the guy had in mind to hit the woman and kill her, it's Kimla Rabin B'nai. He's exempt from paying for the Vlados. So the guy's in mind to hit somebody else, and he didn't hit that person, said he hit the woman, and there's no Kimla Rabin B'nai. So in that case, we say that he has to pay Mevlados. Tani! Somebody says, long lines are Shin Gamaliel. Somebody says, his friend, Shivcha Valdani Sani Marukha. I want to sell you a pregnant Shivcha. But now, Mashbichim also. Her kids make her worth more. Shin Gamaliel Mare, Kutiz me, Guzu. Weimar translates, Kutiz me is a gambler. He says, if you pay more for this woman, you are a gambler. Because what could happen to her very easily? Lose everything, right? She'll die during childbirth. No, it's Greek. The carbon pay motion gives a different shot here based on Aramaic, but Lieberman claims it's Greek. It's Greek to me. Says more further. See if it says, Kinotsu and Oshin. If two men fight for Nokbu Isharon, they smite a pregnant woman, thank you. The Yotsu then her children come out. Aviyasi Ben Khanan says Minokbu Isharon, sorry. I mean, Mimashish Nam Yotsu, that's it says when her children come out. Any of there she are, don't I know she's pregnant? Right, was? Yeah. Obviously, if kids come out, she was pregnant, right? Matam lo mahara. Why say hara? Malami, now the Yushami is going to give two droshes in hara, which the Babli doesn't have. The Babli has different droshes. So it says, Magichem is chayva chiakim mokam upara. He's only liable if he hits her where she's pregnant, meaning in the stomach. If he hits her on the palm of her hand, or the bottom of her foot, putter is exempt because it's an onus. You know, he had no idea that that's actually going to bring about any miscarriage. It was certainly not normal. Kasher Yoshi's Olav Bala Isha, like the husband of the woman, like the husband places upon him. Now, of course, it doesn't really go by what the demand, the payment the husband demands, but goes on based on the ban imposes, but it goes based on the husband suing the guy, right? So, Shomani Avi Shenel Leon Shalom. So it sounds like her husband, even though he's not the father, he's not the biological father, the kid might be a mamzer, right? In which case, who should get the payment? No, never her. No payment to women, please. No, the her lover, the one who, you what? The by a father, right? So it says the Marsha. So how do we know that? Only pay to the guy who impregnated her, not to the her husband if her husband's not the one who impregnated her. Okay? Now, again, this drasha is not in the Bavli, it's on the Yerushalmi. The Bavli is different drasha. The Bavli tries to reconcile the drasha, the Bavli drasha is the Shvach, the Yilor, Shvach Herayon. You pay the woman for what she's worth more. Whatever it is, it's not the same drasha. Anyway, Rabuka asks, what about if a guy, Baal Imo, guy in relations with his own mother, and now she's pregnant, right? Or brachos on his own sister. Is he also, you know, the impregnator, and therefore does he get paid as well? So Zezmor, you don't like that? Tamulomar, bow. No, it says husband. Esher royally kare his spouse, be something suitably a husband. Now, he doesn't have to be actually the husband, like kore royally bila and bila makedespo. You don't have to actually be the husband, and he might even be an adulterer. But if he could be a husband, then that's enough to give him the money. Okay?
So here it's called
Roy the Beer. Right, the Beer. Yotze Shader, we list about the spouse, opposed to those who can't become Bali. Okay? Rabbi Yashin, Rabbi Yotze said, Ubolim and Yotze Mishem Bain. If you stood, the core assumption is if you go into the womb and knock out the kid's higher tooth of an Evid, the Evid doesn't go free. Good, you like that? What else would it be?
First of all, they don't have teeth.
That's what it's kasha. Says Gemara, Nicha, now all the Achrayim changes here. Sameach, the Lieberman, the Shaitar, the Seretz Yisrael, the Ephraim, I think, too. There's no different, it's different to here. So he says, Nicha ba'ayin. He's got an eye. Mishain. Where has he got a tooth? He don't got no teeth, right? Now, I can't believe the word actually asked this question. I'm stunned by it, right? Because Lamaisa, Shemayin Slavdavka means any one of the Evorim of the fetus, right? Oh, it's a finger, you know, a toe. Also, same idea, Shemayin. No, it's any of the Evorim which don't regenerate. Any which doesn't regenerate after it gets chopped off. So I remember I said, but the more it takes the kasha seriously. I know, the more I asked what you wanted to say before, but didn't get it out, right? I'm right, I said, boom, kiddi must see the way the mission, what the mission means. The old Uber is Yerachimo, so the card should go out with the mothers having the eye or tooth knocked out, right? So kasha, so I answered him like this. So I made it up, but I think it's good. I didn't tell him that I made it up, but I think it's good. That in terms of, Uber Yerachimo is Aloch and Yerodea. Like when you toivel, the mother toivels, even for Geras, the kid is toivel as well. It's like Bittu Baro, which is halacha specifically here or there. But it works, Bittu Baro versus here or there. But Chosha Mishma, Bittu Baro doesn't work. If I mix a little bit of your money in mostly my money, your money is not Bittu Baro. There's no such halacha, right? Chosha Mishma, halacha's ownership is not canceled by Bittu Baro. Simply Uber Yerech Imo has nothing to do with Cheshen Mishpat. So therefore, if the ownership is an issue, which it is here, of course, the whole concept of release is the flip side of ownership, so ownership is not transferred together with the mother. That's the Uber Yerachimo means, Falochus of your dad have to do with Chatzitza and Kabbalah, things like that. There we say the Uber is part of the mother. What has to do with Halochus of Cheshen Mishpat, there the Uber is distinct from the mother. Again, so similar, I bring an analogy to Bittu Baro, where you say Bittu Baro for Yerodea, but don't say Bittu Baro for Cheshem Mishpat. Yeah, that's what I answered him. Okay, look above. Hachoyv Rabor Rishus Rabim, somebody digs a pit in Rishus Rabim. V'nova Sorechashor Chamor, an ox or a donkey, falls down there, umes and it dies, chayv, you're liable. Hachoyv Rabor, it doesn't matter if it's a pit. The siach a trench, umara a cave, charitim a square cutout, uni itim another type of regular straight shape. It's narrow on top and wide on the bottom. He came loma nemar bor vaytzei bor. Why not all these other structures? Elama bor shukadei lohami sanasor tvachim. A boar kills when it's 10 tefachim deep. I've called over shuk de'elam is on a sar tefachim, so to aid him, which is 10 tefachim deep, it can kill. The well or hole is less than 10 tefachim deep. But of a so choshor, Or chamor, and an ox or a donkey falls in a mace and it dies, plus you're exempt because your boar did not create through that death. Because your boar is not deep enough, it wasn't that volume the deep to create that death. If, however, the animal was damaged in the boar, which is a dead volume deep, so this is something we're going to discuss later on in the parak and Masech, I hope, in greater detail. So then, damages can be wrought by a boar which is lower than 3 volume, no matter how low, whatever the shear is.
You say there's a grubber that he gets damage and from that eventually he dies?
No, you'd be both around that. No, you wouldn't be live on that. Open into Rishus HaRabim. So open into Rishus HaRabim. Or he dug a pit in Rishus HaRabim. Or plow up Rishus HaRabim and open into Rishus HaYachid. Or Rishus HaYachid, the Paschal Rishus HaRachir. He dug Rishus HaYachid and open to another Rishus HaYachid. Chai, in most cases, liable. Should he open up the bore in a place where it's going to cause problems. So it says, a person is poseach, opens bor, or if a person is kored, digs a bor. So it's Tanakam, whoever the first Amorah says he wants to say, Echobor, Zokin, Bechobor, Lemisa. They're two separate psukim, they put two separate issues. One is the bor in terms of nezek, which is less than fucking deep, and the other is the bor in terms of death, which is 10 or more at fucking deep. Rabitzah is more aligned with the Bavli. No, Echobor, Shemitza, Echobor, Shenizok, Shemimimimika, Echonis, Rabu. They're both on the same pasuk. Have them on the same pasuk, not material for us to now, but you don't need both psukim, right? Ukshubal, Lebor, Shemitza, however, the discontinuation of the statement. When you come to a bor shamisa at Amar Potter came, you say in that bor, if Caleb fell in there, Potter. At Mar shall Caleb Caleb Chayev. And that's talking about on Caleb, and that's saying that when it's that deep, then you're Chayev. So in any event, so the two psukim are both going on both boros. One is going on a bor which you're chayim in Kalim, and the other is going on a bor which you are putter from Kalim. Okay? Big deal. Says, more only El Bishul Chafar. I only know if you dug a pit. Lokach, if you bought a pit. Yorash inherited a pit. Yitan lo matana, a pit was given you as a gift. Minai, I don't know, you're chayim, Shemar, it says, ki yichra ish bor. Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Sorry. All of that statement was not the explanation of why it says Kiyichra and Kiyiftach. Bad move on my part. Rabbi Yitzchak finally gets around to explain why he both, when he says, Ein Yel B'Shechofar. Ein Yel B'Shechofar, because Kiyiftach means to dig. Kiyichra can also mean to buy. We have this in the week's parsha, don't we? Hasodeh. Yeah, don't we have my Marasa Machpelah? No, it's later on. No, Yaakov says it about Marasa Machpelah. Parshas Vayechi. He says to Yosef, see, I didn't go to the Chidon Tanakh for nothing. It says in Parshas Vayechi, says Asher Karisi Lee. That's what Yaakov says. If
Pri Asher Karisi. Yeah, I found it. First of all, he says here, Yosef said to Paro, "Vish b'anli mori ne'anochi meis b'kivri, ne'anochi meis b'kivri asher karisi li b'eretz kanan, shomatik b'reni." So karisi means I bought. Okay? So here too, ki yichre ish bor, that's what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, ki yichre can mean also buy. So it's not just a boar you dug, but a boar you bought as well, you're liable on. So as they say, it's all one boar. You don't, there aren't two boars, one for death and one for nizakin. They can be learned mixed and matched. But it says, ki yichrish, for that's going on a boar which you buy. Ki yiftach is the boar you dug. Ki yichrish is the boar that you buy. Okay? Says Mar, b'chiesh u'shuslavkin nizakin, I got a problem here, says Mar. Shari Torah says, changes the gear, so it's not necessary. It says in the Mishnah, he opened his born Rosh Hashanah, right? He dug his born Rosh Hashanah and opened the Rosh Hashanah. How do you have permission to do that? What kind of a Rosh is this guy? You know what? If you know, a male guy digs born Rosh Hashanah, you know, it could be he's coming to fix it and he leaves it open inadvertently. But how can a guy dig in Rosh Hashanah and open to Rosh Hashanah? So Gemara says a very fundamental principle. I don't know if this is in the Bavli. So it says Gemara. It says here in the side Bava Kamenunam and Alf. Maybe it is. But Amar Rabbi Yisrael Rabun Tipatik Rabbi Yisrael. It's like Rabbi Yisrael Rabun who says to Amar Shloisha. It should be Tfachin. Shein Smuchim LeRoshus KeRoshus. There's an easement which Roshus Arabim has on your property of three Tfachin. Within the three Tfachin adjacent to Roshus Arabim, you can't dig. Because there's an easement on that. It's like, you know, the area between the area where your sidewalk is.
Your guy wants to get your problem.
So even though you're thinking of Shusha Yachin, it's considered to be as if you're thinking of Shusha Rabin, and therefore you're liable for that. So it's not really that you're literally digging in Shusha Rabin, opening it in Shusha Rabin, but you're opening Shusha Yachin, but that's just as bad.
Sounds like love.
What?
Trust.
Yeah, it sounds like love. But, it's not exactly the same thing, but, it says, Smuchim Rishus HaRab. It says a similar idea. Now, to do things, Samach to Rishus HaRab. So, it's a similar idea, not quite the same thing like John. It doesn't say the same. So he's not supposed to do things Samach Rosh Hashanah, like build walls, which will lead to damage to Rosh Hashanah. It's a similar idea, but here it's much more explicit. Now it says the Gemara, Amre, boy, Mao she asked us to make a goiva. Now this is one of these Gemaras which nobody understood until Beck Offer came along. Everybody tries to change the gear so here, tries to give a ptochuk shot. Mamish, nobody understands this Gemara until I came along. So the Gemara is like this. Now I have to tell you this. Everybody holds that if you make a boar, it's not necessarily a boar, right? It's also an elevation, right? Some people want to say that this an obstacle. Some people want to say this is a Gemara's source. It should be Maushiasis a Gova Keomek. That's how they want to change it. In other words, what's the status if you make an elevated area in Rosh Hashanah? But the Scoria manuscript has exactly like this. Lee wants to change it. A couple other people want to change it. Omek Big Gova, which is difficult also. But I'm telling you, the Pashup Shah is like this. This is the Pashup Shah. I drew a picture of my Gemara, but I don't think I can show it to you like this. I'll just show it to you like this. The average Rosh Hashanah is on incline, it's going up. It's like a ramp. And there's a bore, and you dig a bore in that ramp. Now, the halacha is, we're going to see the next mission, interesting halacha. On a regular bore, a big bore, it's just a robin, if an adult shore falls into it, you're potter. Because you should have known better. You should have seen it. You only chayv on a shore, cheresh shayt of a carton. And you're the ox is the cheresh shayt of a carton. Because they had no way of knowing. They're not, either they don't know or they're too stupid to figure out that there's a boar in front of them. Not all oxen, vice versa, are stupid. Okay? But the shy is like this. You build it into the side of a hill, into a ramp. Omek is begova. The omek is in the depth. It's in the heights, right? So you have here a boar which goes in like this on the ramp of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's the question. If it's coming up, Chamile, he sees it. And it's like any other boar in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that you're potter, unless it's the ox of Zacharias, Shoit of the Kotan, right? So it's more Elabahut Asimin Rat, so about an ox which is coming downhill. So the ox is coming downhill, it doesn't normally see that boar in front of it. So that's a Shiloh. Do we say it's like any, like a boar on a flat area where you're potter, because the ox should have seen it? And here too, the ox should have been aware of it? Or do I say, especially if it's going downhill, it should be more cautious? But do I say, no, this boar, it's much harder to discern. And even a regular ox, not just a boar, a shor, you're liable if it falls into this boar. Okay? Sounds good, right?
So
I think it's true.
Camouflage.
Right, it's camouflage. But it's camouflage specifically because it's going on an incline. Okay, let's just get to my base. Boar shor shnei shutvim, and a boar which belongs to two partners. Vav l'arishon tut, and the first partner passes by Loki so. So he's a Russia. He should have covered it. Nevertheless, Hashem Loki so, the second guy then passes and doesn't cover it. Hashem Ikhaev, the negligence transfers to the second guy because he passed by and didn't cover it, right? It's true the first guy was also negligent, but the second guy's negligence cancels out the first guy's negligence. Vice versa, he saw Rishon, the first guy covered it. Hashem Ikhaev, and the second guy came and uncovered it. He left the manhole cover off, right? Hashem Ikhaev, again, the second guy is Chayev. Kisar Rishon, the first guy covered it. Hashem Ikhaev, Mutzam Magula. The second guy came, found it open. But he doesn't know why, right? It could be, obviously, the first guy covered it. He thought he counted on that. Nevertheless, now that he found it open, Veloki, so Hashem Ikhaev, he's liable. What, however, if Kisar Karoi, you covered it more properly. Nevertheless, an ox or a donkey fell in, umes and died, but you are exempt. So oinus. Loki sarukar, if you didn't cover it properly, and an ox or a donkey fell in, umes and died chayev, then you're liable. If an animal fell forwards because somebody was digging and fell into your boar, you're liable, chayev. If the animal you were digging, the animal fell backwards, potter, because animals are not supposed to fall backwards. If it fell backwards, it's his problem, right? If an ox with its load fell in and the kelim broke, a donkey fell in with its load, and miskara, it's usually a saddle and grips, you're liable for the animal. You're exempt from the kelim, as we say, short below adam chamor below kelim. You're not chayav in kelim in a boar. Novel etocho, and then what is discussed? Novel etocho, short of an ox falls in cheres shoyte v'katon, which is cheres shoyte v'katon chayav. So it's all the oxen we're talking about where you're liable to fall in the boar. If it's a dumb ox, but if it's a smart ox, you're exempt, right? Ben obas evet o'amo, if a human being, even a small one, or a slave, falls into your boar, you are potter. Because they should have known better, like the ox, which is smarter. How do you have a boar which belongs to two partners? They both put in the last brick together. So therefore they become simultaneously owners of the boar. They don't actually own it, so it's just a rabbit, but they become both liable for it.
Now, why is the second, in the case where the second guy didn't cover over his partner's boar, why is the second guy completely covered? Why don't they share?
Because he had the opportunity to do the entire thing. If he had, he couldn't, there's no such thing as half. You know, he'd see the cover or not. Doesn't matter, they weren't there simultaneously, they're consecutively. So last guy to pass by is the guy who had the responsibility. Oh yes, the first guy shirked it, but the second guy shirking covered the same ground and superseded the first guy. Because the board is either covered or not. There's no each partner does 50%. Each guy has got to do 100%. So last guy not to do the 100%, he's the guy who's responsible in this case. Okay? We're going to get to that later on, I think. So name it. So he said, "Lama lo pasul mechaver zeh asar v'zeh asar." Why don't you say that it was a 20 tefach deep pit, and one guy did 10, the other guy did 10? So Rashi gives a very balbadish answer. There must be more to it than I understand. The bayim v'shinik because wanted to say tzoy about parsha asar tefachim shoshnei shulfim. Don't bother me. I didn't want to say tzoy about a 20 tefach deep bar. That's not so prevalent. I want to say tzoy about a 10 tefach deep bar, and I wanted to give you a scenario in which both of them become the co-owners of this board. Yeah, just don't bug me.